From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming via voanews.id.
Hello listeners, how are you today? With me, Ahmad Faisal. I'm so fine. I also hope that listeners, all of you are fine. And today, on Wednesday, you can also do your best, listeners. And listeners, for today's edition, I would like to accompany you 60 minutes ahead. And we also would like to present some programs started with news, information, commentary, and other information, as well as entertainment and Indonesian pop songs. Well, listeners, we begin our program with our news. And stay with us on Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, at frequency SW3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id.
This is Voice of Indonesia with the news. First, the headlines. 2022 banking performance sparks hope amid global turmoil. Ministry and the House to discuss 2023 Hajj pilgrimage cost soon. I'm Rahmawati, now the news in detail. The Financial Services Authority, or OJK, has described the banking industry's strong and stable performance in 2022 as a glimmer of hope amid global economic turmoil. Chief Executive of Banking Supervision at the Authority, Dian Ediana Rai, said in an official statement received by Antara in Jakarta on Tuesday, the OJK is optimistic that banking conditions will be maintained and will support national economic growth, although risks need to be watched out amid global uncertainty. Despite the current financial system stability, he warned that banks must be cautious of risks amid the global turmoil, which could compromise economic growth, such as the scaring effect of the COVID-19 pandemic, increased yields on commercial paper, potential depreciation of the rupiah, and decreased liquidity. The Indonesian Ministry of Religious Affairs and Commission 8 of the House of Representatives will soon discuss the Hajj pilgrimage cost, as Indonesia's Hajj pilgrim quota for 2023 has been set. Director General of Hajj and Umrah Implementation at the Ministry, Hilman Latif, said in a written statement issued on Tuesday, "The principles of fairness and continuity are essential because currently there are around 5.2 million prospective pilgrims who are waiting for their turn to perform the pilgrimage." According to Latif, this year, Saudi Arabia has set a high cost for services at Masyair for Hajj pilgrims from across the world, including Indonesia. There are several factors that will cause the Hajj cost to increase, including the cost of services at Masyair, which has increased since 2022, as well as the prices of raw materials, transportation, accommodation, taxes, and inflation. Next, we have head of the National Food Agency, or Bapanas, Arif Prasetyo Adi, who said Indonesia is planning to export corn to Vietnam, the Philippines, and Malaysia in 2023. Bapanas will export as many as 200,000 tons in the first 3 months. Arif also said he had met with ambassadors of export target countries to discuss the plan. However, Arif admitted that there are still several hurdles that must be overcome. Among the hurdles is the implementation of technology to move corn from one ship to the other. The government also plans to carry out efficiency measures in all lines of corn supply line activities. The last national news comes from the Indonesian government, which is seeking to diversify its export destinations for coal and palm oil this year amid fears of recession in advanced economies. But analysts question whether new markets could make up for diminishing demand. Trade Minister Zulkifli Hasan said Indonesia would look to expand its exports in Africa, South Asia, and the Middle East. According to Statistics Indonesia, or BPS, coal and crude palm oil are the country's key export commodities. Now we move to the international news. Brazil's judicial authorities have ordered the arrest of top public officials after rioters stormed key government buildings in Brasilia. One official, the former commander of the military police, has been arrested, local media reported. The Attorney General's office said the officials also include Brasilia's former public security chief Anderson Torres and others responsible for acts and omissions leading to the riots. Myanmar authorities have sentenced 112 Rohingya, including a dozen children, to between 2 and 5 years in prison for attempting to travel to Malaysia without legal documents, state media reported on Tuesday. The group were arrested last month in the southern Ayeyarwady region and sentenced on January 6, according to a report by the Global New Light of Myanmar, which cited local police. The children were transferred to a youth training school near commercial hub Yangon on January 8, the newspaper reported, without giving further details. We end the news with Suhail Shahin, the head of the Taliban under UN Sanctions for Terrorism political office in Qatar's Doha, on Tuesday rejected media reports about new restrictions for women in Afghanistan, in particular on the ban on working in shopping malls, the Al Arabiya broadcaster reported earlier on Tuesday, citing sources that an interim Afghan government led by the Taliban was set to close women's beauty salons in the country in the next 10 days and ordered a ban on women working in shopping malls. The interim Afghan government came to power in the fall of 2021 after the withdrawal of U.S. troops from the country and the collapse of the U.S.-backed government. The Taliban takeover triggered economic disarray and food shortages that have pushed that country to the brink of a humanitarian crisis. Well, listener, that was the news from Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Oh, Officially, Presidential Chief of Staff Muldoko released the departure of 302 Indonesian migrant workers to South Korea as placement through the government-to-government scheme. In the release ceremony of the Indonesian migrant worker for the manufacturing and fishery sectors in Jakarta on Monday, Muldoko conveyed that Indonesian migrant workers' departure to South Korea is a good start for increasing labor cooperation between both South Korea and other countries. Muldoko further expressed his hope that the Indonesian Migrant Worker Protection Agency, BP2MI, will not stop giving protection for the migrant workers while they depart. But it must also provide protection during their placement and even after their return to Indonesia. In his press release in Jakarta on Monday, he affirmed that the protection must really be carried out properly. Therefore, everything must be well prepared. He also assessed that BP2MI has made many changes in providing protection for prospective PMEs, both pre-protections and post-work. On the occasion, Muldoko also ensured that the government, through the Presidential Staff Office and ministries or agencies, is formulating a scheme for segregating placement and pre-placement fees for the Indonesian migrant workers candidates, whose burden is not only borne by Indonesian migrant workers candidates and employers, but also by the government and other non-binding financial sources. Moreover, Muldoko gave an example related to health social security, which will be communicated with the BPJS Kesehatan, or passport matters, will be communicated with the Director General for Immigration and Medical Examinations Matters with the Indonesian Ministry of Health. The main point is not to let the departures and placement of the Indonesian migrant workers candidates burden workers. Muldoko, before closing his remarks, also advised Indonesian migrant workers to maintain the honor of Indonesia and reflect Indonesian values. The departure of hundreds of Indonesian migrant workers to South Korea was carried out in two stages. The first departure was carried out on Monday night and the second stage on Tuesday morning. Based on the BP2MI's data, in the period 2021-2022, 270,000 Indonesian migrant workers candidates departed for 77 destination countries. From the placement, the amount of foreign exchange received by the Indonesian government was 159.6 trillion rupiah.
Voice of Indonesia.
This is Voice of Indonesia with Today in History. We begin with an event on January 11, 1922, when insulin was first used to treat diabetes. Insulin is a polypeptide hormone that regulates carbohydrate metabolism. Insulin was discovered by F.G. Banting and J.J. R. McLeod in 1923. Insulin was first used on January 11, 1922. The first patient to receive insulin injections was Leonard Thompson at Toronto General Hospital. Widespread use of insulin is possible after advances in methods of extracting and purifying insulin. Now we move to January 11, 1942, about Battle of Tarakan. The Battle of Tarakan was fought between the Dutch and the Japanese on January 11 to the 12th, 1942. Although Tarakan was only a small marshy island off northeastern Borneo in the Dutch East Indies, there were 700 oil wells, oil refineries, and airfields, which the Japanese wanted to control in the Pacific War. 20,000 Japanese troops under Major General Sakaguchi Shizuo landed on the east coast of Tarakan on January 11. On the other hand, the Dutch troops were not concentrated on the east coast because the west coast was considered more suitable for troop landings. In the end, our Japanese succeeded in taking Tarakan, even though the Dutch tried hard to defend it. More than half of the Dutch troops died. We end today in history with International Thank You Day. International Thank You Day is celebrated annually on January 11. Today is a reminder of the importance of being grateful to the people around you, especially to those who have contributed or done something. It is not known with certainty the history, originator, and since when International Thank You Day is celebrated. One of the stories that developed said, International Thank You Day was created by several greeting card companies to promote sales of their production cards. However, International Thank You Day is still celebrated by many people in various countries every year. Well, listener, that was Today in History from Voice of Indonesia.
Katakan ku tak cinta isi hatiku hanyalah sayang. Perasaanku tak lebih dan tak kurang menganggapmu sahabat terindah. Paksa dia di sana, persahabatan yang telah terbina jangan ternoda oleh cinta. Bukan maksudku lukai hatimu, katakan ku tak cinta.
Listeners, you are still with us. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world at frequency SW3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. Listeners, in today's edition, we would like to give you information about My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
The Indonesian President Joko Widodo and the Malaysian Prime Minister Anwar Ibrahim witnessed the handover of letters of intent from the Malaysian private sector to the Nusantara capital city. Besides, some MOUs were signed. Letters of intent was handed over to the Minister of Trade and Industry Tengku Datuk Seri Zaiful Abdul Aziz to the Nusantara capital city authority head Bambang Susantono at the Bogor Palace. In a press statement from the Presidential Secretariat YouTube channel on Monday, President Joko Widodo welcomed the intention of the Malaysian investors to build the infrastructure at the Nusantara capital city in East Kalimantan. He said some 11 letters of intent were signed by some Malaysian state companies. They are from electronic, health, waste management, construction, and property sectors. At the same occasion, Prime Minister of Malaysia Anwar Ibrahim conveyed his support for the development of Nusantara capital city. Anwar Ibrahim said two regions, namely Sabah and Sarawak, which are close to Nusantara, positively welcomed the initiative of Indonesian government in developing the new capital city. He hoped the Nusantara development will also have positive impact for Sabah and Sarawak. Earlier, Indonesian Public Works and Housing Minister Basuki Hadi Mulyono said the Indonesian government will give facilities to the investors in Nusantara capital city, including the ones from Malaysia. That was stated by Minister Basuki in the Nusantara Investment Forum, organized by the Malaysian Ministry of International Trade and Industry and the Indonesian Embassy in Kuala Lumpur last November. Minister Basuki added the government budget only covers 20% of the total Nusantara investment needed, up to $30 billion. Meanwhile, 80% will be fulfilled through the public-private partnership, creative funding, private investment, and other instruments. Therefore, the Indonesian government has opened a golden opportunity for local and foreign investors to join in the development of Nusantara capital city. Minister Basuki affirmed the investors and business partners were guaranteed by a strong legal basis, namely the Law No. 3, 2022, about the state capital city, which is supported by a majority of the parliament members.
Bukan salahmu bila diriku tak tahu bagaimana caranya mencintai. Bukannya aku tak cinta kamu, tak menyayangimu dengan sepenuh hatiku, oh cintaku. Biarkanlah cinta tumbuh dengan sendirinya dan mengajarkanku bijaksana dalam memaknai dan memahami. Oh bersabarlah hingga tiba di suatu masa aku bisa jadi yang terbaik dalam hidupmu, dalam hidupmu, dalam hidupmu. Ini salahku, kekuranganku yang mencintaimu dengan cara yang berbeda. Dapatkah kamu merasakannya bahwa hatiku ini milik kamu seorang, milikmu sayang. Biarkanlah cinta tumbuh dengan sendirinya dan mengajarkanku bijaksana dalam memadai dan memahami. Oh bersabarlah hingga tiba di suatu masa aku bisa jadi yang terbaik dalam hidupmu, dalam hidupmu, dalam hidupmu. Cinta sebenarnya cinta, cinta yang tulus, yang mengajarkan bijaksana dalam memahami hati. Oh, biarkanlah cinta tumbuh dengan sendirinya dan mengajarkanku bijaksana dalam memadai dan memahami. Semoga kamu memaafkanku, menerima segala kekuranganku. Semoga Tuhan memberi waktu bagiku untuk membalas kasih sayangmu.
Listeners, you are still with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, at frequency SW3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. Well, listeners, we would like to present next segment, Indonesian Wonder. It is about tourism and local wisdom of Indonesian people.
What comes to your mind when you remember the Lumajang Regency in East Java? Maybe one of its favorite destinations is Tumpak Se Waterfall, which is like a curtain of water that you will immediately imagine. But you should know that in Lumajang Regency there is not only a waterfall, but there are many other hidden tourism destinations here, such as rivers and lakes. In Lumajang Regency, there is also one tourism village, namely Pronojiwo Village. This village is located in Pronojiwo District, about 50 km from the city center. Pronojiwo Village has three very Instagrammable tourism objects. They are Kabut Pelangi Waterfall, Kapas Biru Waterfall, and the Sumbar Telu River Flow. All of them are tourism spots whose beauty is like a natural painting. Existing since 2016, these tourism objects are managed directly by local community groups. It seems that not many villages contain many tourism objects in one area, with the exception of Pronojiwo Village, which has two waterfalls. The first one is Kabut Pelangi Waterfall, whose springs come from Mount Semeru. Another one is Kapas Biru Waterfall. This waterfall is a collection of rivers that are above it, including from Sumber Telu. It is called Kapas Biru Waterfall because if you take a photo, the waterfall looks like blue cotton. Apart from the waterfall, Pronojiwo Village also has a cool and instagenic photo spot, Sumber Telu. This spot has a number of springs from the river that is under the cliff above Kapas Biru Waterfall. There is one thing that is also unique in Pronojiwo Village. Pronojiwo Village, namely art. There are several arts such as kuda lumping and barong Cokot dance, which are organized by the village arts group if you visit the tourism village of Pronojiwo. So, where else can you find a village as complete as this if not in Pronojiwo Village? You are curious? So please visit this village when you are on vacation. That's Indonesian Wonder.
Mau tahu apa yang ada di mimpimu? Sudahkah terisi cerita yang kamu tunggu? Jika kamu ingin aku di sana, aku mau. Menunggu semua yang menahan rindu yang makin gak terkendali.
jauh pergi tetap ada kamu lagi. Pejamkan mata yang terlihat kamu lagi. Belum tahu harus gimana caranya menghindar.
Listener, for the next segment, we will present you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. In our program, Let's Speak Indonesian Language, we will introduce you to some Indonesian vocabularies and expressions, and we invite you to speak in Indonesian language. And this program is a cooperation program between the Voice of Indonesia and the Department of Language Development and Language Education of the Indonesian Ministry of Education and Culture. And here is Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
This is Voice of Indonesia with Let's Speak Indonesian, a program that introduces the Indonesian vocabulary and guides you to speak in the language. Mari Berbahasa Indonesia or Let's Speak Indonesian is a joint initiative of Voice of Indonesia and the Language Development Agency of the Indonesian Ministry of Education, Culture, Research, and Technology. Today's topic is about goodbye greetings, so stay tuned. We are going to present you a conversation about Lisa and Dev, who will separate because the plane has landed. They say goodbye to each other. Let's listen to the conversation.
Sampai jumpa lagi, Dev.
Sampai jumpa lagi.
After listening to the conversation, now I'm going to introduce some vocabulary and expressions related to the topic of the day. I'm going to say each word 2 times and you can repeat after me. Sampai jumpa, sampai jumpa, which means see you. Lagi, lagi, which means again. Sampai jumpa lagi, sampai jumpa lagi, which means see you again. In the conversation, you hear the expression sampai jumpa lagi. It is used when you are saying goodbye. Although you don't know if you will meet again with that person or not, you can say sampai jumpa as a goodbye greeting. Let's listen to the other examples to say goodbye. Sampai jumpa lagi, sampai bertemu lagi. Both sampai jumpa lagi and sampai bertemu lagi means see you again. There is another phrase to say goodbye, which is selamat tinggal. It is used to say goodbye to someone whom you will never meet again or you don't want to meet again. Before we end today's Let's Speak Indonesian, let's listen to the conversation once more.
Sampai jumpa lagi, Dev.
Sampai jumpa lagi.
Well, listener, that was Let's Speak Indonesian for today. Hopefully, this edition can be useful for those of you who want to know more about Indonesian language. I'm Rahma. Sampai jumpa.
Listeners, you are still with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world at frequency SW 3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. Listeners, next segment, we would like to give you information about music. And for today's edition, we will present traditional music.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, in today's edition of Music Corner, we will present a song from East Nusa Tenggara entitled Elemoto Paraliru. The song comes from Sabu Island in East Nusa Tenggara. The song Elemoto is a message from parents to their children who want to migrate. Elemoto Paraliru means stars in the sky. The lyrics mention that the stars in the sky are like the cycles of life. When traveling with ease or luxury, we shouldn't forget our origins. Well, listener, here is the song Elemoto Paraliru by Gratia Hawuhaba. Enjoy!
Thank you.
Voice of Indonesia. Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Oh, Beverly, Betekapa wali plapan betebuen kelang kirek ai kelang kirek popolong pole kale mitan motin merang gelang ai merang gelang
Listeners, we end our togetherness in English language program broadcasting. We would like to say thank you very much for your kind attention, listeners, for you to listen to our program for today. And we will give you another interesting information. And stay with us at Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, at frequency SW3325 kHz, and website www.voinews.id. Well, listeners, don't forget to like and comment at Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, and Twitter at Voi Indonesia, email voi@voinews.id.